Sabbath blessings, everyone. If you can kneel, please do so. We'll start with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us with your presence on this Sabbath day and the changing of the showbread, as you have promised to do since Eden. Thank you so much for blessing us with understanding. And we know, Father, that when we keep your law, we're actually given that understanding. And so thank you. Your promises are amazing. Thank you for blessing everyone here in attendance, be they on the phone, in the radio, or in the room. And thank you for blessing us all with an opportunity to share the truths we learned today with those you send our way. We uplift all those on our prayer list, especially those that are being mentioned here in the chat room. And thank you especially for those that are in need of salvation, that you water the seeds or give increase to the seeds that you have blessed us to plant. Thank you for forgiving us, cleansing us, and blessing us, and if we are so worthy, with the latter rain. And thank you for letting us be alive in these last days to see these things happen. And thank you so much for letting us see your hand move so many times. We praise your name. We love you because you loved us first. And we thank you for accepting this prayer in the name of your Son, our Savior, our King, and our Commander, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay, for those of you that don't know, we're going to be doing a testimony service once a month from now on. Pastor Craig, as many of you know, Pastor Greg and I had an opportunity to meet for the first time in 5 years at a campground in Illinois, Sunday and Monday. And he was telling me how they, that's what they're doing in the Philippines, and it's blessing the hearts of many. And it's better to do it on Sabbath day anyway, because there's a lot more people here on Sabbath day because of time zones and the fact we're on a round world. So like when, especially in summertime, we start the church service on Friday night at 8 o'clock, and here in my neck of the woods in summer, sun don't go down until like 9:45, and so it's still Friday. And especially on the West Coast. And so, yeah, no one's going to be able to come in on Friday nights on the West Coast, or like in midsummer or in summer, and sometimes in the fall, because of the fact they're still at their 9-to-5 job sometimes. You know, it's only a 3-hour difference. And so Sabbath day, it's pretty good. You know, we got an awful lot of people on the radio and on the phone, and of course in the room. And as soon as we get the new conference room, I'm hoping that we have more brothers and sisters in the faith come in, because flash has a tendency to cause problems for people, or they don't know they're supposed to update, and so they can't even get in a room. And that's the main reason we're looking to get a new conference room. And it looks like we found one, but now I got to build a Linux box for it, so please keep in your prayers on that. And for those of you that don't know, Brother Matthias went to sleep, and he went to sleep in the Lord, praise the Lord, last Thursday on the 21st. And I just found out about this yesterday because I got a letter from his sister in the mail, and this is what she said. It's a very short letter. It says, "This is Matthias' sister, Lynn. I'm writing to let you know Matt passed on Thursday, September 21st at about 10:30 p.m. My husband Randy was with Matt when he took his last breath. Matt was very peaceful. Thank you so much for your ministry and all you do to preach God's word and give light unto the world. Matt was so excited about your ministry. God's blessing, Randy and Lynn." So So keep Randy and Lynn in prayer. This is a great loss to them and a great loss to us, too. We all loved Matthias. He was always there with a Bible verse and a quick answer to some questions. And he was one of the first to put amen in the room after every sermon. And as we all know, whenever something was declared that was, be it personal or church-wide in regards to a prophetic event that we have acknowledged or recognized, he was the first always put in the room for such a time as this. You remember? he loved that phrase from the book of Esther. And it's a beautiful phrase, because if you think about it, we have all been born to live in these last days. Could have been born 1,000 years ago, but no, the Lord saw fit to have us alive now, to see all these things, to let us be alive in such a time as this. And so again, keep Brother Matthias's family in prayer. And if we stay on the path, I am sure we'll see our brother again. He was on fire. He loved the Lord, and he had a perfect peace. So he'll be greatly missed. Okay, if I sound a little weak, it's only because I'm fighting off a headache here again. And so the Lord is merciful. There's a reason for everything. And so again, yeah, next Sabbath will be Testimony Sabbath, and it won't be as long as, well, this one might be as long as the ones we usually do every 3 months, because we haven't done it in a few months, but yeah, we'll have a Testimony Sabbath next week. So on Friday night, instead of a 30-minute study, we'll do 45, maybe an hour. It depends on how the Spirit moves, and like if we get caught up in the middle of a chapter or something, can't get out of it, you know, because we do love the study. So, we're on question 28 if you want to follow along. Second to the last book we are in now. I'm personally in the last book. This is 32. So, there's only 33 of these books. The next study is either going to be Revelation studies or the sanctuary. I'm leaning towards the sanctuary because I've already got quite a bit of, I started a study on the sanctuary again. But this time, I'm going... Yeah, I'm not going to do it like I did on the website where I just went a summary, because I wanted to understand the sanctuary and then, of course, put it in my own words. And I have a tendency to summarize. And but that's just for my own. That's why I've always done things. I study things up, and when I'm absolutely positively, unequivocally sure that that's the truth, then I'll put pen to paper and put it on the website. And... But I'm going to go a little deeper with this because of the truth behind it. I mean, the sanctuary is just one massive prophecy. And there's where I like to be. I not only cut my teeth in Scripture, I was hanging my hat in all the prophetic books on a regular basis. It was amazing how exciting that is to me. I just can't get enough of it. I love it. Like whenever, like especially the John 14:29, theology behind the fact that, like, a lot of times we don't understand prophetic events until they have been fulfilled. And that's why I like, it's like finding a pearl in a field, you know. It's like finding another piece to a puzzle. It's just really, really neat. So, yeah, I agree, Brother Mel, and that's why I'm leaning there. The Revelation study, that would take decades, because each symbol is, you know, and it would be a little difficult. I couldn't do it from the book I made, you know, because the symbols are repetitive. I'd have to go where the symbol is and then end it, you know. So it wouldn't be that big of a study as it appears on the site. So anyway, we're on question 28. And the question is, what if we know these things? Okay, and of course, this study is about when you hear his voice. That's the title of the study. And what question 28 is alluding to is the question 26, or wait, question 27. Wow, there is no question 27. I just noticed that. They went from 26 to 28. That's odd. I never noticed that. I just noticed it now. Maybe, is there a question number 27? Or do they mess up this book? There is. I think we covered that last week. Maybe I did. Or maybe the notes fell out. Yeah, I think we did do the Jesus is the author of eternal salvation unto all them that do what? And Hebrews 5:9 was pretty obvious. So yeah, we probably already did that last week. And so what if we know these things is the question today. And man, I really hope we did question 27. So the answer is John 13, verse 17, of course. All right, wait, let me see. So we did, okay, we did do the question last week, okay. For some reason, I deleted it. An enemy of souls, you know, you hit a key on a keyboard and stuff's gone. It's just, you don't even catch it. You know, because I'm right now, my notes are in a, like a pamphlet, if you will. I had to split it in two because WordPress doesn't like it when you make things that are too long. And so this is part two of the studies that I'm working on. And the first one is, like if I load it in, I haven't used it in months because that one is 600 and, no, wait, it's still doing it. Yeah, it's 318,687 words and 387 pages, okay? This one's on page 177 so far, so. So somehow, some way, I'll have to redo my notes on question number 27 and put it in here, because especially question 27, that's pretty blunt. I mean, the enemy of souls doesn't want somebody seeing that one, obviously. So what if we know these things? John 13:17 says, and thank you, Brother Gorin, for putting the verse in a room. It says, if ye know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Well, this is actually speaking of the peace Jesus spoke of that is ours for the taking when we obey him. And when the soul meets Christ, they experience true heavenly love for the first time. And so just as a little child wants to do things for their parents to make them smile because they love them, the child of God discovers the same thing. And I got to tell you, this peace is real. And it really, really, like, I can go over maybe 1,000 different times that I've seen his peace, but the first time has to be always the best. When I realized this peace when I was walking towards a courtroom. And I don't like sharing these stories. Don't get me wrong. I don't like talking about my evil past and all this other stuff, but I do like to glorify the Lord and stick it to the enemy of souls, if you know what I mean. And because I jumped out of that trophy case, and the only reason I was able to jump out because I saw Jesus with his arms wide open, and he was the one who was going to catch me, so I jumped. But I was looking at, you know, I never said, you know, the crime I committed or anything like that. I don't recall, but I had already been convicted, and I had already been sentenced, if you will, and I was given a fine, and I couldn't afford to pay the fine off, and so I was doing a $50 a month thing, right? And the way they would do it in Chicago, especially Cook County, you got to be in that courtroom every month to hand them that $50. And I was like 2.5-3 hours away now. We moved. I'm still doing it. But after a while, they were nice about it. They says, yeah, just mail it in. Okay. Because they realized it was a cruise. But this one time, the probation officer more or less said, no, you got to come in. There's a new judge. And he wants to see you because you ain't paying it. He says, yeah, I am. He says, yeah, you don't like monthlies. I says, all right, whatever, I'll come in. And she told me that he had a similar situation with another man in his courtroom last week regarding paying it, 50 a month. Because 50 a month for what they fined me would have taken years. It was a lot of money. And I says, oh, well, you know, I guess that he goes, yeah. He says he gave him 30 days. If he doesn't come up with the money in 30 days, he's going behind bars. I says, well, that doesn't seem fair, but okay. So as I'm walking the gauntlet, I'm walking towards that courtroom, and this is the Bridgeview Courthouse, the new one. And so they had these, it's like four stories, and it had, I mean, you can see they're making tons of money here. And, you know, marble walls, the whole nine yards. And it's just, my courtroom was the last one. So I had to walk past 10, I think, courtrooms. And the whole way there, I'm praying. And the Lord gave me a perfect peace. And I literally stated out loud, because I like to pray out loud. I don't care who's listening, but, you know, everybody was in the courtrooms, so nobody was really hearing me. And I said it under my breath enough to where the lawyers and their defendants in the hallway that were talking couldn't hear me. And I says, Father God, if you want me to go to jail, I'll go. If there's somebody there I need to talk to, fine. I ain't got a problem. I've been there before. And, but I don't have this kind of money. There's no, you know, I don't see you being, you know, but if you want to give me the money too, in 30 days, that's fine too. And, so I went in the courtroom with perfect peace. You know, you got a wife and eight kids, you don't want to go to jail, you know. Especially for the amount of time I'd have probably been behind bars with the amount of money I owed, but which makes no sense. Yeah, with a debtor's prison, it's just silly. I mean, how do you pay it back if you're behind bars, you know? Washing floors with a toothbrush for 25 cents an hour, I don't think that'd work. So, as you all know, it all worked out. The judge waited to have me the last one to come up. I had to sit through that all those, you know, people ending up in behind bars. He was throwing people behind bars left and right. So I sat there and I was the last one called up because my last name starts with a P, so they just do it alphabetically. And then he said some Latin term after I told him how I couldn't pay and how the Lord had moved my heart to start working for him, and I had a home church and everything like that. Yeah, I remember the judge's name, too. That was, yeah, thanks for reminding me, Fran. The judge's name was Lynch. Talk about a hanging judge. He was born to be a hanging judge, and so, he, you know, with that name. Truth in names, you know. It's funny how it happens sometimes, but because when she told me, my probation officer told me his name is Lynch, I had to laugh out loud. She laughed, too, you know. I says, you got to be kidding. This guy's got an attitude. And so when I told him, he just looked at me. He looked at the stand-in, if you will, the prosecutor, because, you know, just a formality. And he said some Latin term, which was pretty ironic because I was exposing Rome at that time, big time, you know. I was already keeping Sabbath because we had already moved, and I think we were keeping Sabbath by then. Pretty sure, I don't know. And I had been minimum 10 years exposing Rome, even as a Sunday keeper. He said some Latin term, and I go, and he says, do you know what that means, young man? I says, no, I don't. I have no clue. I don't speak Latin. And he says, inability to pay, case dismissed. You're free and clear. And the tears started flowing right there in that room. You know, and he goes, how does that sound to you? And all I could say, sounds like answer to prayer. But it didn't come out that smooth. I got to tell you, it didn't come out that smooth. And so the peace of Jesus is real. I mean, and that was the first time I saw it, where I had perfect peace knowing that, okay, I don't want to go to jail. Scary place to be, right? But I knew it would be okay. I knew that even if I went, the Lord would be there. That hedge of angels would be there. Everything would be great. Because he wants me there. I've got something to do there, let's say, you know. But he didn't want me going there, obviously. And I had no clue that they could do that. I didn't know a judge could do that. I'd never seen it happen before. I'd never seen a judge waive a fine, especially one that size. But it's like, you know, it's like being born again, even in this realm. I mean, the truth of our God can be seen everywhere, repeating itself. This peace is just everywhere, you know. And I've seen it so many times over and over and over and over and over again. And And this is why Jesus says, you know, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. And so the soul meets Christ. They experience true heavenly love. I mean, take nature, for example, and how we have the four seasons. Because, I mean, this is a little bit off topic in regards to love and peace, but still, his truth is even found there. I mean, because, like, there's so many different ways to define truth. And that's why, you know, you can experience it, but you certainly can't teach it. There's just no way you can explain it. If it's not in you, you don't get it, you know. And but if it's in you, you get it. That's about the easiest way I can explain it. And so, but take nature and the four seasons. You have spring when things begin to grow. You have summer when that which is grown is blooming, right? It's going good. I mean, it blooms in spring, too. Yeah, there are early bloomers. We all know that. But the it really hits it heavy in summer because, yeah, they're getting all sorts. They've already got a few months' worth of the good stuff, you know, the vitamin D and the sunlight and all that good stuff. And then, you know, so they got the strength and the beauty because they're standing firm. And then comes autumn when the fruit is obviously falling from the trees. It's ripe. It's ready, you know. And then it then blesses the soil so as to allow for more growth to come in the spring. And then, of course, winter when everything dies and grows cold. Now look at life, the life of men. In spring of life, you begin to grow. In summer, you come of age. And strength and beauty becomes obvious during this time. And most people even call it the prime of your life. And then the autumn comes when, you know, all that they learned in life begins to sprout fruit. You start to understand. You help your children better understand and understand that, you know, the situations in life so as to grow in their springtime. And then, of course, winter of life comes when mankind grows white like snow, dies, and then grows cold. So, well, I look at making my Heavenly Father smile in the same way. You know, getting back to the thing I said there a minute ago regarding the, you know, happy are ye if you do these things, and happy is he when you do these things too, because he likes it when we do things for him. And when I was a little boy, I came to understand what love meant for the first time with my parents, like we all do, right? Even in a dysfunctional family as we were in, but at the beginning it wasn't so bad. I mean, the teasing thing was there, but it was mostly the kids having issues. But when we finally got to our teen years, then, yeah, it was obvious there was a problem in the family. But as a little boy, I realized one day that I couldn't do anything to help my parents in, you know, in what mattered. You know, like I, you know, 8 years old, I couldn't go out and swing a pick and dig a ditch or, you know, even a paper route at that age wasn't going to help much. And so I couldn't help pay the bills and or make sure I couldn't even get food for myself to eat. You know, of course, there was occasions when I did enjoy jumping into those mulberry trees with my friends to the point where their mother would come out when the sun was setting. She says, little boy, you need to get home. And, you know, I had the blue fingertips and bright blue lips from eating mulberries for an hour straight. And so, but other than that, I knew I couldn't live on mulberries. And it wasn't like I was going to jump into my neighbor's yard and start plucking carrots out of their garden. So I knew I couldn't, you know, do things on my own. So all I could do was to make them smile in some way. And so I do extra chores. You know, I've shared this a couple dozen times, I'm sure. And I would even draw pictures sometimes because I had this ability to draw when I was a kid, especially to copy drawings without tracing. I would make them bigger or smaller than the original. And that helped me to learn how to put pen to paper better, too. And then when you're a little kid, you want mom and dad to look at it and put a VG on it, you know, very good, you know, like your teachers would do. And then hang it on the fridge. Got to hang it on the fridge. Come on. Everybody knows you got to hang it on the fridge. And so I would do that, and that would take hours to perfect, you know, because I was very meticulous when it came to drawing, especially when I did that little bunny hugging the little duck. They had fur, you know. And you know how fur is. It's there's quite a bit of amount. It's not like hair, you know. There's a lot more follicles involved with fur. And so I toiled just to show them I loved them and wanted them to know that in the hopes it would make them smile. But now that I'm a grown man and I found Jesus as Lord and Savior, I once again discovered true love, what it really, really means, and how he really does give you that perfect peace. He's not kidding. His promises are amazing. They're rock solid, capital R. But like a little boy who couldn't help my parents pay the bills to feed me, I knew there's nothing I could do to, you know, to help my Heavenly Father in any way, shape, or form. You know, there's no way I could help him provide for me or my family. There's nothing. Seriously. It's like the old saying goes, you know, what do you give? What's the perfect gift for the person that has everything? Well, you can't even say that with your Father in heaven because he owns a cattle on a thousand hills. You know, there's nothing that, you know, the earth is his footstool. And so like that little boy that I used to be, I decided that since there's nothing I can do to help the Lord do what he does so well anyway, I'd mess it up if I got my monkey wrench in that works anyway. So I decided that all I can do is make him smile. And so I decided to obey him and share his truth with as many as I could, knowing that in so doing it would bring a few souls into the kingdom, which in turn would please him, and that would eventually make him smile. And so as Jesus stated in John 13:17, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. And if you look up the word happy in that verse, it comes from the Greek word makarios, which means to be happier and even blessed. And with that said, I really hope you have been blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day. I'll be back in a minute.